This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa ala rabbi shahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everybody. Welcome to a Juz a Day. Today we are covering the 17th Juz of the Quran. The 17th Juz of the Quran has two surahs in it, and these two surahs are in their entirety. It begins with Surah Anbiya, which is surah number 21, and Surah Anbiya ends in this Juz. And then surah number 22, which is Surah Al-Hajj, that is also entirely in this Juz. So this Juz comprises of two surahs of the Quran, Anbiya and Hajj. Anbiya means the prophets. Anbiya means the prophets, those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent with his messages. So this surah is going to speak quite a bit about prophets, but not just about prophets like the stories of prophets as we have seen in other surahs of Quran. In fact, what we are going to see here is something a little different. We're going to see more about Ibrahim alayhi salam than anybody else. He's going to be featured very prominently in this surah, and he's going to be very featured very prominently in the next surah, Surah Al-Hajj. That's one thing we'll notice about this. The other thing we'll notice about this is that this surah speaks about the patience of the prophets and their dua in times of difficulty. This is something that all of us need, more dua, and especially dua in times of trial and difficulty. So let us get started with this surah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Iqtaraba linnasi hisabuhum wa hum fi ghaflatin mu'ridun. The time of reckoning has drawn near for mankind, and yet they are heedless and they turn away. ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون. Whenever any fresh admonition comes to them from their Lord, they listen to it but do not take it seriously. Why do they not take it seriously? لاهية قلوبهم. Their hearts are distracted and forgetful. This is an interesting analysis of the Quran. A very interesting observation about people who are not, who don't care about a purposeful life, as in a life that has a purpose and there is salvation to be attained in the next life, or the threat of an eternal punishment. They don't take this worldview. The Quran says largely because lahiyatan qulubuhum, their hearts are distracted and forgetful. They're enjoying this life. And it's making him forget about the life of the next life. وَأَسَرٌ نَجْوَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا هَلْ هَذَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. The wrongdoers confer together secretly, saying, Is not this man a mortal like you? Will you succumb to magic with your eyes open? أَفَتَأْتُونَ السِّحْرَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبِصِرُونَ. He's just a guy. And what he says sounds so nice and sweet. It's almost like magic. It will deceive you. That's what you're gonna follow. You're gonna follow this guy who says these sweet words. The response by Allah is, "Qul Rabbi ya'lamu al-qawla fi al-sama'i wal-ard, wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim." My Lord knows every word spoken in the heavens and on the earth. He is all knowing and all seeing. And they say these are his confused dreams, adghathu ahlam. Others say he has invented it himself. Others say bal huwa sha'ir, he is a poet. Falyatina bi ayatin kama ursila al-awwalun. The Quran is documenting what people of Mecca said about the prophet. He is a sahir, he's got sweet words, and these sweet words will deceive you. Now, what are these confused messages about prophets and resurrection and all this? We've never heard this before. He has made it up himself, invented it himself. There's no revelation. He's making it up himself. And, it's really beautiful. That's because it's poetry. That's why it's so beautiful. And, what's the big deal? Poetry is all the same anyway. These are the ways they would say to keep from confronting a difficult reality, that the Quran is actually revelation from Allah and it's not poetry. The Prophet did not invent it himself because he didn't know any of these details. it's actually a very clear message. It, you know, as you can notice, the themes are very prominent. The messaging is very, very consistent in the Quran. This is how the Quran is. The rulings have nuance, okay? But the core theology has, you know, consistency, and it's principled, and it doesn't change. You know, rulings are changed from time to time, place to place. That diversity allows the religion to be lived in different times and different places. But the theology, the tenets of faith, the worldview, the idea of morality, all of that doesn't change. It's very clear. So to say it's confused dreams is actually, it's like almost like a slur. Okay. The Quran says, "Wama arsalna qablaka illa rijalan nuhi ilayhim." They want you, O Prophet, to be a Superman. Every messenger before you was a man. Every messenger was a man. Excuse me. They were not superhumans. They were human beings. They were men. And they were received revelation. Nuhi ilayhim. That's the difference. That's the difference about them. You notice this is a very common motif in the Quran. The Quran is addressing the idea of prophethood very, very consistently in this manner. And ask the people of the book if you do not know this. Okay. And these messengers, they were not, like, again, they're not superhuman, that they did not need any food. They didn't like live for an eternity. They lived and died, right? And Allah made them a promise. Allah fulfilled His promise to them, saved who He pleased, and destroyed those who exceeded all bounds. This is a history in brief, the Quran mentions. And this is like the reminder for Quraysh. This book has been revealed to you. It is a reminder for you. لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. It has a reminder for you. Will you not understand? Will you not take heed? This is what has happened before when nations receive messengers. O Quraysh, take heed. Okay. The Quran mentions here in Surah number 16, in Ayah number 16, excuse me, that this is the central message of the prophets has always been, or the message of all the prophets, excuse me, has always been the oneness of God. And this surah is going to make some examples, or give some examples about that. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. It was not in play that we created the heavens and the earth and all that lies between them. And if Allah had wanted to find a pastime, He would have found it, right? He didn't need to go through this elaborate process of creation and giving souls to people and giving them choices and creating the system for them to live in. And then there's all these dynamics. He didn't have to go through all that trouble if he just wanted some pastime, right? In kunna fa'ilin, if he wanted to. But in reality, that's not their case. Allah has created this not as like a joke, not as by chance or, you know, by just, you know, happenstance. No, it is an intentional creation all in the cosmos. It's an intentional creation. بَلْ نَقْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ. We hurl the truth at falsehood. The falsehood shall be crushed and will disappear. Woe to you for what you utter. وَلَكُمُ الْوَيْلُ مِمَّا تَصِفُونَ. It is a very inappropriate thing to say that this cosmos came into existence without any purpose. It just happened to be here. We just happened to be born. We just happened to have, agency unlike any other animals. We just happened to have the faculties of reasoning and the extensive communications and history and civilization. We just happened to have that. Unlike any other creation around us, we just happen to be this way. This is walakumul wailu bima tasifun. Woe to you for what you utter. It's not just by that. Ayah number 22 says, ayah number 21 says, abittakhadhu alihatan min al-ardi hum yunshirun. Have they taken deities from the earth who can bring the dead to life? Like these deities, can they do anything? No. In fact, what is the reason why there cannot be more than one God logically? لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَزَتَتَ. Had there been in the heavens and the earth other deities besides the one true God, Allah, both the heavens and the earth would be ruined. The cosmos would be ruined. Why? The order and the harmony of the creation, of the cosmos, it tells you that there is one, you know, orderly chain of command, okay, that leads back to the one true God. I'm not talking about, you know, chaos of the world and evil. I'm talking about, you look at the as-samawati wal-ard, the cosmos. That's actually what samawati wal-ard means. The skies and the earth is a expression for all that exists. You know, the earth, the solar system, everything we know and everything we don't know, actually. And the word for that that we use generally is the cosmos. That particular, those planets, those stars, those galaxies, they exist in such perfect harmony and order. That speaks to what? Speaks to that there is harmony and order because there is unity of command, and that is the oneness of Allah. Because if there was a disunity in command, you have two conflicting people in charge, then obviously that's going to lead into disaster and chaos. And the chaos will not be just seen at the top. The chaos will be seen everywhere. Okay, that is the idea. Even around the earth, if you look at, exclude the humans and the human evil, just the system of how the earth is, how the earth repairs itself, how the earth adapts, how all these things function. Like, subhanAllah, how amazing it is. That is, again, evidence that there's only one true God. There can't be any other. فَسُبْحَانَ رَبِّ الْعَرْشِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ. So the Lord of the throne, Allah, is far above that which they ascribe to Him. He is the one who no one can question Him. But He is the one who questions. وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. Or sorry, better translation. None shall question Him about His works, but they shall be questioned. We don't question Allah for why He did what He did. We will be questioned why we did what we did. That is the key part. A very important ayah. Underline this ayah, please. We don't question Allah for why He did what He did. No, He will question us why what we're doing, why we're doing it, and whatnot. That is a very key thing. Okay. Ayah number 30 mentions some beautiful ayat in the creation. And the ayat in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very, astonishing. And this is what we should pay attention to understand the reality of our Lord, who our Lord is. Okay, what is it that it says here? أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. Do not those who deny the truth, I don't know, I can't read today, sorry. Do not those who deny the truth see that the heavens and the earth were joined together and that we then split them asunder? فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. There is many interpretations of what this is talking about. We don't project the Big Bang on this ayah because the ayah is not speaking about the theory of Big Bang per se. Okay, that would be just like, you know, I think that would be intellectually dishonest. What it is perhaps referring to, as we find in the books of tafsir, is the idea that kanta ratqan is the earth and the sky were lifeless and then Allah brought them into life. فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. And, you know, that the process of life coming about is like, you know, a split has to happen, right? Like something has to split for life to emerge. Okay. So this is a very interesting thing. And this perhaps is something to, you know, you would question, how would the desert Arab understand this, right? The Bedouin Arab, how would they understand this concept? Of course, our understanding of science and the universe is quite advanced. And we are able to grasp the idea quite easily. Yeah, this is definitely true, right? That this is not like, this is a very, very precise statement. But for them too, they had, they would see similarities or similes around them. Like, you would see, to get water, you have to split open the earth to get water out as a well, right? So they would see these in a very small, very simplified ways, and we're able to conceptualize this. And then us, as you know, later generations, we're able to conceptualize this more strongly. And as we study the universe even more, our understanding of this particular concept is even, you know, stronger. That there was a time of lifelessness. There was a time where, you know, it was the way things were, you know, in a imperfect or not in their complete shape, the beings, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them into existence. It was a process of creation, and we can appreciate that really well. And how precise is the Quran when it speaks about that? And again, I'm not dismissing the possibility of, you know, the Big Bang or whatnot, but I'm just saying, you know, it could be, it couldn't be, Allahu alam, but it does speak precisely about the nature of how we find the process of creation taking place, the process of creation all around us. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And that we made every living thing out of water. This is a beautiful statement. How precise also is the statement? How clear is the Quran's statements here? All of us are composed of largely of water. I don't know the percentage, but it's like a high percentage, 70% or more. Like our cells are all water, essentially. Yes. And this is the case with all types of creation. This is such a beautiful, such a precise statement. Again, afala yu'minun, will they still not believe that these precision is coming from the Lord of the universe? The idea also here is actually a powerful one about everything has been made from water. That there's diversity in creation, but the creator is one. And the source, like there's a common source element that all creation has. Okay, here in the Quran, it's mentioned as water because we're composed largely of water. Of course, you can break water down further into, you know, its molecules and whatnot. But the point is that appreciate the idea that there is a common link between all of Allah's creation. And that common link is because the creator is common. And this is something that we should appreciate, and it should, give us, inspire in us humility and inspire in us gratitude for our Lord, and make us want to study His signs more, study the nature and the universe around us even more. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِي. We have set firm mountains upon the earth, lest it should sway under them. Okay, the mountains, if you know, it's like a little bit of the mountain is peeping out from the earth, but the rest of the mountain is under the surface of the earth, and it acts as a stabilizing force, and it prevents, like, you know, on a the tectonic plates, they cause the mountains when the earth was forming to spring up, right? And that sees the movement of the tectonic plates. In the places where there isn't that's not a mountainous range, or if it's like a area that is a flat land, this is a possibility that there could be, you know, certain types of earthquakes that come there and whatnot. But this earth, the way the mountains are, it actually does provide stability. We can make that connection very clearly today. وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا فِجَاجًا سُبُلًا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. Right? And the passages for paths so that they may find their way. The earth is, you know, there's like a track to it. Okay, and you could sense that if you travel, right? Of course, we have paved roads, okay? But even if you take like a off the beaten path and you go up, you can sense that there is a, you know, it's not just completely, uncharted. There is some tracks that Allah has left for us to allow to navigate this earth. And some of these are just, you know, the topography of the land. Some of it is people, of course. But the idea is Allah has allowed that to be so we can explore and find out what this earth is like. وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا. We have made the heaven. Here the heaven is talking about the sky. The sky is a well-secured canopy. Yet they turn away from our signs. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ. It is He who created the night and the day, the sun and the moon. كُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. Every one of them gliding in its orbit, right? Such a beautiful thing. This is, we know that for a fact. The sun has an orbit, it's moving, right? The the earth is moving around the sun. The moon is moving around the earth. These are things that we know, right? كُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. We can appreciate this today, even more than when the ayah was revealed. And the system of our life, layla wa nahar, night and day, that's again something for us to think about, right? One of the challenges about, say living on Venus or living on Mars is night and day isn't as, the days are like, it's not like the 24 hours that we know. It's a more difficult challenge for adaptability. I think they call it a soul or a cell. I don't know what it's called precisely. But it's a challenge for adaptability for humans because it the rotation of that planet is not like the rotation of the Earth around its axis. The idea is, it's all of this is by chance, right? All of this happened just randomly? Of course not. Okay? وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ. We have not granted everlasting life to any human being before you. Another sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all of us will live and all of us will die. That's the reality. We are finite beings. We are finite beings. And this is applicable also to the rest of what we see around us. The cosmos is also got a deadline when it expires. That's the day of judgment. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste death. We shall test you with both good and evil circumstances as a trial. And to us you shall return. The results of the test will come when you return to Allah. But the life right now is meant to be a test. بِالْشَرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ. It's going to be a test with both good and evil. It's not that good is not a test and evil is a test. Allah says both of those are tests. Good is a test of a person's gratitude. Evil is a test of a person's patience. Both of these things are a test. And it's a very interesting thing that Allah concludes the passage by this statement, because it's like, just like the creation around you is so apparent and so, manifest, the same way your tests are going to be apparent as well, right? Just as certain as you are about the existence of everything around you, right? Be just as certain about life is going to be full of tests, trials and tribulations, good and bad. And we ask Allah for His guidance in helping us navigate. You see, like if you have a daily reading of the Quran that you do, right? You will notice the Quran reminds us again and again about life as a test. And you're like, yeah, I know that. But the reminder comes in different ways. That's why it's called a reminder. It's to remind us when we forget. Circumstances will make us forget. Our emotions make us forget. That's the reality of being a human being. If you have a daily connection with the Quran, you're reading it at a frequency and a high volume, right? Like a decent volume, not like one ayah or two ayah, like a decent volume you're reading. Say like a juz. That allows you to constantly be reminded about the reality of life. Constantly be reminded about your purpose. Constantly, that thing is going to help you mitigate your emotions. And that's why it's so beautiful. So the Quran truly is meant to be a guidance for all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions prophets in this surah. Okay, He mentions, because the surah is named prophets, so it's going to talk about prophets, of course, right? He says, first, a little something interesting. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man is a creature of haste. Soon I shall show you my signs, but do not ask me to hasten them. This is a reality. We're hasty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be patient. Okay? Now, messengers, ayah 41. وَلَقَدْ اسْتُهْزِيَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِكَ. Messengers have been mocked before you, but those who scoffed were overwhelmed by the very thing they mocked. The thing they were mocking was the prophet, and they were the message of the prophet, and the divinity of Allah, and that is what overwhelmed them. Allah overwhelmed them and destroyed them. Okay, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the people. You are mocking the prophet. This is the thing that happened to people who mocked prophets before. That was their end. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here a very interesting passage about about hellfire. It's a very severe ayah. Ayah number 46. وَلَئِن مَسَّتْهُمْ نَفْحَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّكَ لَيَقُولُنَّ يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ. Even if a breath of your Lord's punishment touched them, they would say, woe to us. Woe to us. We were indeed wrongdoers. Woe is like, not like, woe. This woe is the expression in Arabic is, I am destroyed. Waili, I'm destroyed. That's the expression. That's what it means. Okay. So these people are going to say, you know, we are destroyed. And they would regret what they did. But at that point, regret doesn't do anything. Because once life has finished and the person is in, the judgment comes by, regret won't do anything. But the interesting thing is, they would say, "Wai ya waili," or "Ya wailana," you know, "I'm destroyed. I'm destroyed." Trying to come to grips with reality. But that reality is not going to be any easier. Inna kunna zalimeen. This repentance now doesn't mean anything. As we will see, this very surah mentions a story of a prophet who said the very same thing. And that's fine. You can say that while you're alive. But on the day of judgment, the statement doesn't mean anything. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. We shall set up the scales of justice on the day of resurrection so that no soul can be in the least wronged. No one will be harmed. No one will be unfairly treated. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ. Actions as small as the grain of a mustard seed. Atayna biha shall be weighed. Wa kafa bina hasibin. And we are sufficient as a reckoner. Meaning, every good you did, good as small as you can imagine, as big as you can imagine, it will be weighed on the day of judgment. The idea of weight of the deed is not like necessarily a lot. The quantity is not determining the weight. Okay, obviously, it will make the scale heavy if there's a lot. But the quality, the weight is alluding to that the quality makes a deed heavier. And this is the thing. If a person is patient and they've experienced tragedy after tragedy, their patience is heavier on the scale, has greater quality than the patience of someone who experienced, you know, a mild tragedy. Okay. If someone is worshipping Allah, when it's very difficult to worship Allah, their worship of Allah is heavier because it's much more difficult. For someone who's worshipping and it's easy, they're around Muslims all the time and whatnot, then that's, alhamdulillah, still good. It counts. It's, you know, actions. But because it's not as difficult, it's not as heavy. And this is the justice on the scale, on the Day of Judgment. It is about the quality of the deeds, not the quantity. We ask Allah to make our deeds heavy on the Day of Judgment. Allah mentions prophets. First, Musa and Harun. وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ الْفُرْقَانَ وَضِيَاءً وَذِكْرًا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. We gave Moses and Aaron the criterion of right and wrong, and a light and a reminder for the righteous. Okay? A very beautiful thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Moses. But now he turns his attention to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ayah number 51. A very important story about Ibrahim. أَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. Before this, we gave Abraham his guidance. We knew him well. Rushd is actually not just guidance. So rushd is actually more like someone who's emotionally intelligent. Someone who has a good head on their shoulders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this about Ibrahim because what he's going to do is not just an emotional thing. He's doing this in a very methodical, well thought out way. What he's going to do now. What is he going to do? He asked his people, what are these images you are devoted to? What are these idols that you are devoted to? They said, وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا لَهَا عَابِدِينَ. We found our fathers worshipping them. He said, well, doesn't matter if your fathers worship them. This is a misguidance. كُنْتُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَأَبَاءُكُمْ فِي الضَّلَالِ مُبِينَ. You and your fathers are clearly misguided because these idols don't do anything. Okay? قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا بِالْحَقِّ أَمْ أَنْتَ مِنَ اللَّعِبِينَ. Are you like joking, Ibrahim? Said, no, your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth who created them, right? That is why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our Lord, the one who created everything, the heavens and the earth. فَطَرَهُن is actually not just create, it's to bring it into existence without precedence. No blueprint existed. Subhanallah. Wa ana ala dhalikum min ash-shahidin. I bear witness to that. And I swear by Allah, I will devise a plan against your deities after you have gone away and turned your back. Again, the surah, the passage began by saying Ibrahim was very methodical, very intelligent, very, you know, sound-minded. This is his plan. He broke them all into pieces except for the biggest one of them so that they might return to him. When they came back, because they would celebrate outside the city, they came back to the city. They said, what happened? Who did this to our idols? That person must be a wrongdoer. They said, سَمِعْنَا فَتَنْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We heard a young man called Abraham talking about them. Like, look at the expression. We heard a young man, they called him Ibrahim, mentioning them. Right? He was so insignificant in their eyes. They said, well, bring him. Let's ask him what happened. أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Abraham, was it you who did this to our deities? قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا. He said, rather, this biggest one of them did it. فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ. Ask them if they can speak. فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And look, Ibrahim alayhi salam clearly is not speaking about the idol. He says, فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ. Ask them. He wants them to understand and get the point. The point is, these idols cannot speak. These idols cannot speak. That's why they're idols. That's why they're just rocks and stones. That's why they're not gods. Why don't you ask them? فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And they turned to one another and said, it is you yourselves who are in the wrong. A better translation would be, they were introspective. رَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They thought to themselves, he's right and you're wrong. But then they hung their heads, or better transition, they turned 180 degrees. نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ. Right? Instead of recognizing what reality they were just, grappling with and accepting it, they turned and flipped the script completely and said, Abraham, you know that they cannot speak. Ibrahim was like, exactly. أَفَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ. Do you worship something instead of God, that which can neither benefit you nor harm you? Notice, brothers and sisters, this is always the case when we talk about idols, right? Allah doesn't speak to us like directly from the sky. We're like, hey, God, and then there's a response coming from the sky. That doesn't happen, okay? In fact, that would be extremely arrogant for a person to expect them to, for God to speak to them in this way. Like, you think you're that special that the God of the universe is going to speak to you directly in this manner? Know yourself, your limits, okay? But the idea is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does speak to us. He sends us, inspiration. Inspiration that we find in our hearts. He speaks to us through His words, through His book. He speaks to us by, putting certain thought in our minds and taking us away from certain situations that are detrimental to us, or bringing us to situations that are, helpful to us. He guides us in a very gentle way. And that's His communication to us. We speak to Him through our prayers. He responds to our prayers. This is an experience. You have to experience it, right? And when you experience it, you know the reality of it and how truthful that response is, that response from Allah, right? It's just like someone speaking to you is just as truthful, if not more reassuring. And then the idea of harm and benefit. Idols don't harm and benefit. Idols don't speak, of course, right? And then idols don't harm and benefit either. They don't do anything. Allah is the one who's in charge of everything. And this is something, like the pandemic is a terrible tragedy, but you look around, right? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. This is not like a punishment He's unleashed, but it gives you a glimpse of His power. Like, we are powerless if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows something to harm us. And until He stops it, we're powerless, right? And then we are totally, completely at His mercy. مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ. أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ. How terrible. Shame on you. And shame on what you worship besides Allah. Do you not understand? Okay? So instead of understanding, what do they say? They said, let's burn him and help your deities if you are resolved to do something. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave the fire the property of burning, set to the fire don't burn Ibrahim. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي وَبَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمِ Oh fire, be cool and a means of safety for Abraham. وَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ They sought to do him harm, but we frustrated them and made them the losers. أَخْسَرِينَ from خَسَارَة, to lose. The biggest losers. They were the biggest losers because they got humiliated in this manner. They couldn't, you know, despite being the whole community, whole city versus one boy, couldn't do anything to him, right? So that's humiliation. Number three, they had Prophet Ibrahim in their city. He was from their town. Imagine the loss. One of the greatest, the second greatest man to have ever lived was from your town, from your children. And what did you do? You decided to burn him and throw him out of the city. What a loser, right? أخسرين, truly the biggest losers. Okay. ونجينا لوطا إلى الأرض التي باركنا فيها للعالمين. And we saved him and Lot and brought them to a land which we had blessed for all people. Lot, Lut عليه السلام, was his nephew actually. And alhamdulillah, he was one of those people who believed. And we gave him the gift of Isaac and Jacob, Ishaq and Yaqub. And both, all of them were righteous. It speaks about leadership here. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّا We made them leaders. The Prophet Ibrahim al-Salam's kids, they were leaders. Not because they were, you know, just the kids of Ibrahim al-Salam. No, they were leaders because يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا They guided by our command. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ We revealed to them the doing of good. وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ Excuse me, observance of prayer. وَإِيْتَى الزَّكَاةِ And the giving of alms. Every prophet before had salah and zakat with them as well. In some way, shape, or form. Maybe not the way we prayed. You know, it doesn't have Surah Fatiha. Maybe they didn't pray in Arabic, right? They prayed in whatever language they were, you know, that they spoke. They didn't face the Qibla. They didn't do Allahu Akbar this way, whatever, right? The movements were not exactly what we pray, but they had a salah, just like we have a salah, a prayer, a set of rituals, a set of remembrances that connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ And that's how we express our worship. These two actions of salah and zakat is how we express our devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Lut is mentioned. He was given wisdom and knowledge, and Allah delivered him from the city which practiced abominations. Okay, they were a wicked people. Okay, Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned. وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ He cried out. Now look at this. The dua of prophets, right? Remember, this is the theme. The prophets are making dua. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was in trouble, he made dua. His dua is not, it's not... It's not mentioned in the Quran, but in a hadith literature, we find he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, answered his dua and saved him. Lut alayhi salam, as you saw in the other surah, right? لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً He is, you know, asking for help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wishing that he had support. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported him. Nuh alayhi salam explicitly made dua. إِنَّادَ مِنْ قَبْلُ Right? He made dua to Allah to save him from these people. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ We saved him and his household from a great distress and helped him and gave him victory over the people who rejected our revelations and they were all drowned. وَدَاوُدَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ Amazing prophets, father and son. They both passed judgment on the field into which some people's sheep had strayed and grazed at night. And we bore witness to their judgment. This was a mistake that Dawood made. He made a hasty judgment. فَفَهَمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ We gave Solomon the right understanding of the matter. And he corrected his father. He corrected his father about this matter. This is a very beautiful thing. It shows the prophets the idea of they're experiencing different types of tests. Dawood alayhi salam was experiencing the tests of leadership, of authority. And also, Sulaiman Islam is experiencing the same test as well. And then they're experiencing the test of whether they're going to let their ego come in the way of doing the right thing, which they didn't. That is a test. That is a test. And Sulaiman, Dawood and Sulaiman are you know, examples of how beautifully to pass that test with humility, with grace. وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We bestowed on them wisdom and knowledge on both. And Dawood was not some like, you know, mistake-prone person. No, he was a great prophet, right? وَسَخَّرْنَا مَعَ دَاوُدَ الْجِبَالِ. We caused the mountains to celebrate, caused the mountains and the birds to celebrate our praises along with David, and we had the power to do so. Sulaiman alayhi salam was given a stormy wind, subjected to him. He could make it go wherever he wants. تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ. This was the power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to this prophet, this the great miracle that Allah gave to him. Okay. Ayyub, remember Job, when he called on his Lord, saying, I have been afflicted with great distress, but you are the most merciful of the merciful. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِيمِينَ. He was paralyzed for years and years, had everything, family, wealth, lost everything, only had his wife left with him, but he continued to make dua, and after many years, Allah answered his dua. And but look at the beauty in his dua. He's not complaining. Oh Allah, how come this happened to me? I was a good man. How come? No. It was, oh Allah, I need help. مَسَّنِي الدُّرْ. You know, this harm has touched me. Distress has touched me. Okay? He's not even saying, oh Allah, you caused it upon me. No, he's like, it happened to me, oh Allah, and you are the most merciful. You can relieve it. See how we speak about Allah? That's how our prophets taught us. To speak about Allah in this very beautiful manner. We ask Allah for this kind of wisdom. So Allah responded and heard his prayer and relieved his suffering, restored him to his family, doubling their number as an act of grace and as a reminder for the worshippers. Ismail, Idris, Dhul-Kifl, these are all great prophets, all who are patient. All of them were righteous and Allah accepted them in his mercy. The dua of Dhannun, Jonah, Yunus alayhi salam, إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. When he went away in anger. فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. So he thought we had no power over him. Meaning, he thought that he was right when he left his people angrily. But he was wrong. So he suffered some consequences and ended up being swallowed by a whale. And in the darkness of the belly of that whale, فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. He cried out in the darkness, Allah ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There is no deity but you, O Allah. Glory be to you. I was indeed wrong. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ. So we heard his prayer and delivered him from sorrow. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And thus shall we deliver the true believers. Subhanallah. This is a very beautiful dua. I want you to underline this. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. This is a dua. Remember, this dua, I was telling you about that ayah, right? Previously, when the people of the past would say things like, يَقَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ, right? When they are in the hellfire, they say, we're wrongdoers. Sorry, Allah. Too late. But in the world, you can say, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. I was indeed wrong. And that's beautiful. And that's going to be a means of acceptance, a means of forgiveness. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ. We heard his prayer and delivered him from sorrow. And that is how Allah delivers the true believers. Zachariah, who we spoke about yesterday, right? He said, cried out to his Lord, my Lord, do not leave me heirless, and you are the best of heirs. Don't leave me without a child, O Allah. Let me have a child. How many years he made dua, and then Allah answered his dua. And وَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَا, and bestowed upon him John. وَأَصْلَحْنَا لَهُ زَوْجَا, and made his wife fit to bear him a child. Right? How amazing. These prophets never gave up hope. That's the lesson. The prophets, they're showing us how to be patient. And the way we are patient is we make dua to Allah to help us through our problems, and we never give up hope, because Allah is the only one worthy of worship. He's the only one who's in charge. So we don't give up hope in Him. They used to hasten to do good. We focus on doing good, and we focus on وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا, and they would call us in hope and fear. They would make dua, supplication, out of hope of Allah's mercy, out of fear of Allah's punishment. وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. They were humble. How beautiful. What an amazing description of Zakaria and his wife. How amazing was that couple. And this is again a beautiful, this is like hashtag couple goals, right? That's what this is. Okay. And of course, the one who guarded her chastity. So we breathed our spirit into her and made her and her son a sign for all people. This is, of course, Maryam alayhi salam and her son Isa alayhi salam. Inna hadhihi ummatukum. This is, this community of yours is one community. All the prophets are one community. All of them are one one nation. Okay. We are part of that one nation of prophets as believers in them. And all of us, wa ana rabbukum fa'budun, all of us are joined by that we are worshiping the one true God. That's a beautiful thing. It connects us to people across time, across places, connected by the bonds of faith. Faith in the true oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the worship of Him. But of course, as I tell you, as the Quran will tell you so many times, وَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ. People are people. People are people. People who come afterwards don't live up to the standards of the prophets, don't live up to the standards of the revelation, divided themselves into fractions, or into factions, not fractions, sorry, factions, and to us they shall all return. Of course, we focus on what we can control. We focus on doing good. We cannot fix the world. You cannot change the world. You can only change your world and maybe the world of people whose lives you touch. But the whole world you can't change. You focus on what you can do. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Whoever does good works, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, while he's a believer, فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعِيهِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ كَاتِبُونَ. We will record them. This is a beautiful reminder for us. Focus on what you can do. Allah will not let your deeds go to waste. Focus on the good that you can do as a believer. Okay, the surah concludes, ayah number 107, by speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What does it say about the Prophet sallam? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Of course, the surah spoke about all these prophets, concludes by speaking about the Prophet sallam, because he's the last prophet. He's the conclusion of the prophets. We have sent you forth as a mercy to all mankind. That is who the Prophet was, a mercy for everything and everyone. قُلْ إِنَّمَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. And that's how he lived. That's how he lived, صلى الله عليه وسلم. قُلْ إِنَّمَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. It's been revealed to me that your God is but one God. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So will you submit to him? Right? This is the shahada. La ilaha illallah. And innama yuha ilayya Muhammadur Rasulullah. Right? Falantum Muslimun, will you become Muslims? Will you accept now? Okay. Fa in tawallaw, if you turn away, faqul adhantukum ala sawa. I have warned you all alike. It's, you know what's up now. And you cannot feign ignorance at this point. And what is promised to you, I don't know whether it's close or far, but it's coming. That's all I can tell you. إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْتُمُونَ. Surely God knows what you say openly and what you conceal. I don't know. إِنَ أَدْرِي لَعَلَّهُ فِتْنَةٌ لَكُمْ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. I don't know whether it may mean a trial for you and a short reprieve. I don't know what your life is going to be like. Okay? But what I know is the end. Allah is going to be the judge. قَالَ رَبِّحْكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. Say, my Lord, judge with the truth. And our Lord, the Gracious One, is the one whose help we seek against what you utter. That is Surah Al-Anbiya. Next surah speaks about is Surah Al-Hajj. And Surah Al-Hajj, the central figure in Surah Al-Hajj is Ibrahim alayhi salam. But before we get there, first we look at a reminder of the Day of Judgment. And the reason why this is mentioned, wallahu alam, is Hajj, the gathering of hundreds of thousands, a few million of people, few million people. If you're standing there, it almost seems like an incomprehensible number. Everywhere you look, there's a person. Okay? That's what it feels like. That is like a preview of what the Day of Judgment will look like. Everywhere you see, there's people. the whole of humanity that's ever lived, every soul that ever existed, brought back to life. Ya ayyuhannas ittaqoo rabbakum inna zalzalatis sa'ati shay'un 'azeem. O people, fear your Lord. The catastrophe of the last hour shall be terrible indeed. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. When that day comes, every suckling mother shall forsake her infant, right? Imagine this scene. A mother who's feeding her baby will abandon her baby because she doesn't care about the baby anymore. All she cares about is herself. Baby is dying, let him die. That's what's going to happen to a mother. That's how selfish people will become. The mother is the most selfless person because she literally gives her body up for her child, gives up her well-being for her child. She will become so selfish, she wouldn't even care about whether the child lives or die. That is how chaotic the day will be. وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. It's so chaotic that every pregnant woman would have a miscarriage out of the stress of the event. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. And everyone will appear intoxicated even though they are not intoxicated. People will act irrationally, like they're intoxicated. But they are not. They are fully in charge of their... They have full agency about what they're saying at that point. But they're acting so irrational as if they're drunk. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. The punishment of God will be severe indeed. That's how stern of a day this is going to be. This is the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you're in doubt about this day, إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّنَ الْبَعْثِ. If you doubt that this thing is going to happen, well, here's an example. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. We created you first from dust. First from dust is Adam alayhi salam. ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. Then from a sperm drop. That's the rest of us. Okay. ثُمَّ مِنْ عَلَقَةٍ. And then from a clotted blood. Okay. ثُمَّ مِنْ مُضْغَةٍ مُخَلَّقَةٍ. Then a lump of flesh. مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ. Shaped and unshaped. Okay. لِنُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ. So that we might manifest to you our power. Look at how a full human being, like look at what the full human being was. A drop of sperm. If it was on a person's clothes, they'll be humiliated and embarrassed. Okay. Clotted blood. If that was, you know, somewhere, you would clean it up quickly. A lump of flesh outside of the womb, you would consider it to be garbage. That's the humble origins of a human being. Understand our origins so we can understand how small and powerless we are and how powerful Allah is. وَنُقِرُّ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ مَا نَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ أَجَلِ مُسَمَّى. We cause what we will to stay in the womb for an appointed time. That's the term of pregnancy. ثُمَّ نُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا. Then we bring you forth as infants. A child is helpless, can't even burp, can't even clean themselves, can't even feed themselves. Okay? But then, ثُمَّ لِتَبْلُغُوا أَشُدَّكُمْ. Then we cause you to grow and reach full growth. You reach the pinnacle. Now you are a strong man or a woman. But some of you will pass away early in life, while some of you will reach extreme old age, in which they will know nothing of what they once knew. SubhanAllah. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَلْمٍ شَيْئًا. It's like the cycle of life comes full circle. Started as an infant knowing nothing, reached full potential, full strength, full, like the peak of your powers, and then the decline happens and you are almost like a child who didn't know anything. SubhanAllah. What is the example here? The example here is if Allah can bring you into existence from a sperm drop, from a clotted blood, from these insignificant bits, make you into a full-grown human being. Isn't he able to make you, resurrect you again? If he can demonstrate his power over you by showing you how powerless you were in the very beginning of life and how powerless you'll be at the end of life, do you think you will have any power on the Day of Judgment? لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً. You see that the earth is dead and barren. فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ. But no sooner do we send down rain upon it, اهتزت وربت. It begins to stir and swell. and produce every kind of luxuriant vegetation. This is a glimpse of what resurrection looks like, right? The earth that is dead and barren brought to life by rain. It's a metaphor also, because rain is water, and like Allah says, everything has been created from water. The earth is that dust, the soil, that's where we're going to be buried. That's the origin of our father, Adam. The water of life brings the earth back into existence, into a flourishing earth. That same process can happen when we are dead in the earth. Water of life can resurrect us again as well. It's just as easy. That is because God is the truth. وَأَنَّهُ يُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. It's because he gives life to the dead. وَأَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Because he has power to do everything. But we don't conceptualize that, because our power, our abilities, our attention spans are all limited. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. And the last hour is bound to come. There is no doubt about it. And God will raise up those who are in their graves. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَن فِي الْقُبُورِ. This is a very beautiful passage. Okay, it speaks about people who it speaks about a few categories of people. People who dispute about God without having any knowledge, guidance, or enlightening book. They turn away arrogantly, leading people from God's path. This is a dangerous characteristic. Okay, and this is the person who shall incur disgrace, even after example is given, yet this is a person who is, you know, bound by what they want arrogantly, and this is a person who will suffer the consequences. Not because Allah is wrong or being unjust, but that is the reward of your misdeeds. Okay, and then there's also, this is a person who has you can think of this as like an atheist, right? Yujadilu fillah, disputing, arguing, okay, and it's conjecture, it's logical fallacies, it's going against first principles. But he argues and argues thinking he's right, arrogantly. Here is a person who perhaps isn't like an atheist. This is a person who is, maybe he's a Muslim, he's born a Muslim, maybe accepted Islam, but half-hearted. They're kind of like, let's see how it goes type thing. Okay, not convinced. There are some who worship God half-heartedly. Then, if some good befalls them, they are content. They're like, oh, this is good. Good religion. I like it. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. But if an ordeal befalls them, they revert to their former ways. Like, life, good and bad, is the good happening is validation for them that the religion is okay. Bad happening to them is a sign for them, or is, you know, a indictment of the religion that it's bad, so they have to leave it. This kind of person, khasira dunya wal akhirah, they lose in this world as well as the hereafter. Why? This kind of fickle person will not succeed in anything. The moment that they hit adversity, they are going to quit. That person is going to fail at everything. Okay. Doesn't matter what they're trying to achieve in life. But more importantly, in the next life, they are going to be losers. Because the test, the dunya is a test, as the Quran reminds us repeatedly. So how can you, the moment you're tested, turn away and say, this religion is not for me? Right there is a failure. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. That is a clear loss. Okay, that is a few examples. We ask Allah to protect us from that. But Allah also mentions that he will admit those who believe and act righteously. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدْخِلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. God does whatever he wills. He will enter us into paradise. We ask Allah to make us of those people. The Quran now turns to speak about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay. Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned. Actually, before he's mentioned, Allah mentions that he will enter the people into paradise one more time. Repeats this point to drive home the idea. يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَابِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَلُؤْلُؤَ. Interesting one. It mentions gardens under which rivers are flowing, right? Or rivers are flowing at their feet. Again, this is that example of the most incredible piece of land. This is the most pristine real state of that you can imagine. In fact, we can't even fully comprehend what this means. Okay, but it's so pristine that the rivers are flowing at your feet. And then they're given bracelets of gold and pearls to wear, and their clothing there will be of silk. This is now the Quran. As I told you, most of the time, Quran is speaking about the emotions you experience in paradise, because really, that's what you like. That's really what paradise is: that contentment, that lack of ill will, that happiness of the what you have, and the peace and serenity that a person will experience. But also, there's materialistic pleasures. There's pleasures of beautiful things that you wear, gold and pearls, the best clothes, silk, right? This is something in Jannah is not an extravagance. In Jannah, this is what you are given. This is who you are. That's what you deserve, and you will wear that. Okay, so it's beautiful. Like you're beautiful inside, you're happy inside, you're content inside, and you're beautiful on the outside. That's what Jannah really is. We ask Allah to give us that tawfiq. The Quran actually mentions after this, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ, ayah number 26, when we assigned to Abraham the site of the house, meaning the house of Allah, the Kaaba, was not built, but its foundation, it was a place that was demarcated for the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Ibrahim alayhi salam to that place. And then he, as we saw in surah number 2, he commanded Ibrahim to build the house there. But then here in this passage, it says, Allah tushrik bi shay'a, do not associate with me anything. وَطَّهِّرْ بَيْتِي, purify my house. For those who make tawaf, لِطَّائِفِينَ, circumambulate, I always have a problem mispronouncing this word. And those who stand upright, too many M's and L's for me. And those who bow and prostrate themselves. وَرُكَّعِ السُّجُودِ, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. By the way, this is what you do in the masjid. You in the haram, you make tawaf, you go around the Kaaba, you stand to pray, and you bow down in your prayer, and you make sajda in your prayer. That's what, spirituality represents, the rituals there, okay? وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, call mankind to the pilgrimage. يَأْتُكَ رِجَالًا, they will come to you on foot, on every kind of lean camel, by every distant track. They will come from everywhere to make Hajj. Oh, Ibrahim, you call. Ibrahim al-Salam made the call. There was nobody there. Ibrahim al-Salam said to Allah, if I make the call and there's nobody here, who's going to listen to me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, your job is to call and our job is to bring the people. And when Ibrahim al-Salam called people to Hajj, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the souls of people who weren't born. And they replied by saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. We are here answering your call, O Allah. That was a miraculous instance that Ibrahim alayhi salam experienced and was given to him. And that's why we say in when we go for Hajj, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. That is our response that we gave to Ibrahim alayhi salam way back before we were just souls. And that's the response we give to Allah when we are making Hajj. We ask Allah to make us those who go for Hajj. Okay. It mentions the Hajj. Hajj is on appointed days. It's you utter the name of God over the cattle that He's provided. There's a sacrifice at the end of Hajj. It is purify themselves and fulfill their vows and perform the tawaf around the ancient house. What is this? The shaving of the head. There is the stoning of the jamarat. There is the tawaf. All of these rituals are mentioned or alluded to. The Sunnah actually clarifies them very much. But what does the Quran say about them? It says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَّهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Such is God's command. Whoever honors that by which that which is declared sacred by God may be sure that it counts for good in the sight of his Lord. And also it says, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. He who honors the symbol set up by God shows the piety of his heart. These are the rituals that Allah has set up. Sha'ira is like a obvious ritual, a symbol of Islam, the prayer, the Hajj, the rituals of Hajj, the places of Hajj. All of these are, you know, like symbolic. The one who honors them is not just being like ritualistic. They're actually expressing the piety of their heart. Okay. It mentions also piety of the heart isn't just, you know, going through the rituals as motions. It is also a spiritual state. الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, whose hearts are filled. Like this is the people, sorry, وَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ, give good news to the humble. Those who are, whose hearts are filled with awe at the mention of God, and they say their and they endure adversity with fortitude. وَالصَّابِرِينَ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُمْ. This is like such an important characteristic. The Quran repeats this again and again. This is a believer's, you know, calling card. صَابِرِينَ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُمْ. Endure adversity with fortitude, with, you know, recognizing Allah has a plan, inshallah. And they say their prayers regularly and spend from what we have given them. This is a spiritual state. The sha'air of Allah, there is like a ritualistic aspect, but the inner aspect is these things. We ask Allah to give us the ability to do that. Then it mentions, ayah number 37, لَيَّنَا لَلَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. It's not the flesh or the blood that reaches God when you sacrifice an animal. It's not like the blood is what you're giving to Allah or the meat is what you're giving to Allah. No, these are, you know, just what, this is just the nature of the ritual. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. What reaches to him is piety. How sincere were you? How devoted were you? How truthful were you in your action? And the one who does that, alhamdulillah, has attained goodness. كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَهَا لَكُمْ لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. And thus God has subjected them to you so that you may glorify him for the guidance he has given you and give good tidings to those who do good. Okay. Ayah number 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ يُكَذِّبُكَ فَقَدْ كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ وَعَادٌ وَثَمُودٌ وَقَوْمُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَقَوْمُ لُوطٍ وَأَصْحَابُ مَدْيَنَ. Okay, if they deny you, O Prophet, then before them, the people of Noah denied the Prophet, Prophet Nuh, the tribes of Ad and Thamud denied the messengers, the people of Ibrahim, the people of Lot, the people of Midian. Musa was charged with falsehoods. He was called a liar. فَأَمْلَيْتُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهُمْ. But every time I gave respite to those who denied the truth, and then I seized them, and how terrible was my punishment. The Prophet is being given, you know, consolation. O Prophet, don't take their rejection, you know, and don't let that depress you. Don't let that, you know, make you down, right? Because the Prophet would wonder, what is going on? Why are these people used to love me and listen to me, and now they hate me? Something wrong with me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, this is how people were, this is how these people are, and don't you worry, O Prophet, your job is to convey the message. Okay, there's a beautiful passage in Surah in Surah Hajj here that I want to just show you, and then we'll conclude with that. It will begin at ayah number 60. Okay. And this passage will begin with lots of ذَلِكَ, 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 right? You will notice like three ذَلِكَس in a row, okay? Thus it shall be, right? It speaks about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter people into paradise. Thus it shall be. مَنْ عَاقَبَ بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبَ بِهِ ثُمَّ بُغْيَ عَلَيْهِ لَيَنْصُرَنَّهُ اللَّهُ. The one who retaliates to the same extent as he has suffered, then is again wrong. God will surely come to his aid. God is forgiving and merciful. Okay? Meaning, you don't overstep your boundaries when you are seeking justice. Okay? And if you have done right and still you are oppressed, don't worry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there to come to your aid. That is because God is the one who makes the night pass into the day and makes the day pass into the night. He's the one who runs the world. He can come to your aid for sure. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. Because God is the truth. And others that they invoke besides God are sheer falsehood. And he is the one who is sublime, the Al-Ali Al-Kabir. Don't you see that God sends down water from the sky, whereupon the earth becomes green? God is unfathomable. Latifun. That's actually not a great translation. He's very fully aware. subtly aware of what we do. Khabirun, all that's in the heavens and the earth surely belong to him. The surah concludes on page number, or ayah number 73, with a beautiful example and then a reminder for the believers. Ya ayyuhan nasu duriba mathalun fastami'u la. O people, here is an example. So listen to it carefully. Inna alladhina tad'una min dunillah lan yakhluqu dhubaban wa la yajtama'u lah. Surely those whom you invoke other than God, other deities, whoever that may be, lan yakhluqu dhubaban, cannot create even a fly. Wa la yajtama'u lah, even if they were to all combine together to do it. And if a fly should snatch anything away from them, la yastanqidhuhu minhu, they cannot recover from it. This is beautiful, because when a fly takes something, the fly dissolves that thing and then sucks it up. It's kind of disgusting, but that's how a fly works. Okay, so the fly, even if you were to catch the fly and kill the fly and extract the fluid from the fly, the fluids already change chemically by the time you extract it. So what you lost, you can't get back. La yastanqidhuhu minhu. That's how weak. ضعف الطالب والمطلوب. Both are indeed weak. The seeker and the sought, right? The worshipper of the false idol and the worshipped idol, they are just as weak. ما قدر الله حق قدره إن الله لطيف خبير. They did not give Allah his full right because he is powerful and mighty. Allah chooses whoever he wants as messengers from angels and from mankind. It is the choice of Allah. Prophets are not, you don't apply for it like a job. Allah chooses. And it's purely his choice and nobody else. Okay? And that's because he knows everything and he has all the power and he is the one who holds people accountable. The surah concludes, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu irka'u, O believers, kneel, make ruku', wasjudu, prostrate yourself. وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, worship your Lord. وَفَعْلُوا الْخَيْرَ, and do good works. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may succeed. Underline this ayah. Beautiful ayah. If we want to print something and put it on like your, on your desk to remind you, this is the ayah that will remind you. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ, strive for the cause of God as it behooves you to strive for it. هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ, he has chosen you and laid on you no burden in the matter of your religion. Okay, the religion is supposed to relieve our burdens, relieve our difficulties. It's not meant to add to them. Okay, and if it's adding to them, you know, we should try to, you know, reevaluate what we're doing, and inshallah, make dua that Allah guides us to the religion, to the worship of the religion that provides us with the peace and comfort, not with the burdensome, tiresome view that we might have. We should make dua sincerely to Allah. Oh Allah, make this religion easy for me. Make the practice easy. Put no burden in this religion upon me. Oh, make this a burdenless, beautiful, serene experience for me. Millata abikum Ibrahim, the faith of your forefather Abraham. In this, as in the former scriptures, he has given you the name of Muslims, so that the messenger may be a witness over you, and that you may be witnesses over mankind. What does this mean? That means on the Day of Judgment, we will say, yes, O Allah, the message was delivered by the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? Therefore, say your prayers regularly, and pay your zakat, and hold fast to God, huwa mawlaakum, he is your master, فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَىٰ وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ, an excellent master, and an excellent helper. Jazakumullah khairan for sticking around till the end. I'll see you all inshallah ta'ala tomorrow, same time, same place. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha